We're reading from Zohar for All, Parashat Vayishev. You can find the materials on Kabbalah Info. You can ask questions through Kabbalah.il. And you can download it on Kabbalah Info. The materials you can download. Item 11. But a righteous one who fears his master, how much evil does he suffer in this world so as to not believe and partake with the evil inclination? But the Creator saves him from all of them. The righteous and the wicked and the world and the beasts and anything that we can imagine, this all happens within a person. A person is a small world. This is how we read the Zohar. This is how we come to know reality, the world through the reality. There is no reality. It's all in me. There's nothing outside. Everything is on the inside. It seems to us, or it seems to a person, that there is something on the outside. We learn from Kabbalah that our Kli all in all, which is called the soul, it is divided into five parts. It stems from the four phases of direct light, the upper light that has created the desire. It has created it from Shorish, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and Dalet. And the fourth phase, the will to receive, it is also included of the previous degrees, and this is Prinat Dalet, this whole will to receive that I have received here. There is the Shorish, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and Dalet here. These desires, we learn from Kabbalah how they can become or not become like the Creator. Which desires can we work with the Creator through, which can't we? This is all a desire. All of this is the desire. Starting from the weak, Ovyut Shorish up to Ovyut Dalet. We learn in Kabbalah. These desires, they're called Shorish, Neshama, Guf, Levush, and Eichal. This is how they're called in Kabbalah, these desires. You could say Keter Chuma Bina Zeran Pin Malchut. You can call it Keter Chuma Bina Zeran Pin and Malchut. You can call it by the name of the worlds revealed here, and the Sfirot, and the Partzufim, and whatnot. Every detail is divided into five parts, and it has the names of doesn't matter, corporeal, spiritual, it's all here. Because all of reality, all in all, are these desires. Our perception is also, we perceive everything in our desire. We feel everything in the desire. What we feel, our life, it's in the desire. There's nothing besides the desire. The Creator has created a desire. And this desire feels something in it. The desire lives in itself, exists in itself, and feels only itself, can't feel anything beyond itself, because it is a desire, and feels that something happens in it. But feels what happens in it in two, it's divided into two parts, two kinds, types. Shorish Neshama Guf. He feels as he himself. Me. Me. And Levush and Eichal is what is outside of me. Levush, it's like clothes. But it's not clothes. It's something close to me that wraps me, that I'm in kind of direct contact with. It's all called Levush. And something more distant is called Eichal, up to the whole universe. This is how we sense, feel our desire and the phenomena in it. There are such that I feel in my heart, such that I feel in my leg. You know, there is a difference. The leg hurts a bit, or the tooth aches. There is a difference. If a small nerve would have been hurting in my foot or in my tooth. Everyone felt this. It's the same here. There are desires that are closer. There are desires that are felt by us as more distant. And the feeling in the desire, this is how it builds for us such circles of reality. From the inside outwards. This is how I feel. Reality is divided towards me. But it's all in my desire. There are many results coming from this. The first solution, I want reality to change. If I want reality to change, I have to change my desire. Reality is in the desire. This is one whole great big mistake of humanity. We could have erased it and corrected it. These desires I call foreign. Levush and Eichal. All that is outside of me. What is outside of me? The world. What is the world? Still vegetative, animate, and speaking. That's Mach in Hebrew, for short. Acronyms. Seems to me as outside of me. It's an illusion, only in your desire, only that now you don't feel that it's yours. And because you refer to them, to all these things, so that it is outside of you, and towards these things as inside, so you suffer. You don't know what harm you bring upon yourself through this illusion that you feel that there is something outside of you. It's a mistake. It's a mistaken perception. You don't see this correctly. And look what this brings you to. You as if see people on the outside, a world on the outside. You can disregard them. You can beat them. You're not aware that by this, you beat only yourself and bring yourself trouble and problems, and this is what you fulfill your life by. Look what kind of terrible perception of reality we're in. What a mistake. All this is my kli, this is all my soul. But I'm in such a stigma, such a perception, I can't make anything out of it. It controls me. So the whole wisdom of Kabbalah is in order to unite this kli together. Therefore we hear, love another as thyself, don't do unto others what you hate. You know, there's different nice sayings. These are expressions of the unification of the vessel. This is eventually what we have to do, and we can't. We can't. We're always a result of our inner arrangement, of all these discernments. What we can do is ask. for it to change, for the light to come and change our kli. What does this mean? For it to correct my soul, in other words. For it to correct my soul. And then I'll see one desire, one reality, one kli, one light. This is called Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Meaning that everything is in one desire, the light and the O and the kli together. This is the goal. Till we achieve this goal, we try, nonetheless, everything towards, to aim ourselves and everything towards the unification. And when we read the book of Zohar, we must constantly return ourselves as much as possible to feel that everything is inside me. So now we're reading, he said here, righteous and wicked in me. They're righteous and wicked. Pharaoh is in me, Israel, Egyptians, hills, mountains, moon and the sun, everything is in me. These are forces, desires, qualities, discernments, only in me. The same way we just said that it's all in me, this whole world, up to the whole universe that I can envision. Here he puts in this also all of spirituality, all the spiritual worlds. It's all within man. Outside man, there is nothing. What does it mean outside of me? Say, I have no idea who I am. This is how I feel myself. That this is how I exist. Maybe this form is also lifeful. But now, in my eyes, in my feeling, this is what I see. But this is what I envision for myself. So I have to envision for myself that there is no me and something outside of me. Like, corresponding to this sketch, Shosh Neshama Guf, it's me and the rest is outside of me. But everything is one clean. If this is what we will constantly aim ourselves towards, we will make the light work on us. Because the action of the light is only in order to put these parts together. All these parts together. So the condition to receive the Torah is be as one man and one heart and one desire. Heart is called desire, and so on. All these things, they're very simple. They connect into merely one principle. So here, again, we'll read and we'll try to think correctly. Everything is inside me. This is what everyone thinks. Item 11. But a righteous one in me, who fears his master in me. How much evil does he suffer in this world, so as to not believe and partake with the evil inclination? Meaning I have different such forces which are pro or con my connection with the Creator. And it's all in me. But the Creator saves him from all of them. If I try to work this way, that this force called the Creator, which I detect, exists also in me. Therefore, it's called the Creator. Bore, bo'ue, come and see, you will reveal him inside yourself. As it is written, many are the ills of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all, that the Lord himself arranges many illnesses for the creature. Many are the ills of the righteous, but many ills righteous. Thus, one who suffers many ills is righteous, because the Creator wants him. Meaning, he arranges these things for him on purpose, so that this quality in me called righteous suffers, is undergoing frustrations, but through the frustrations, it becomes needy of the help of the Lord. This is so because the ills he suffers remove him from the evil inclination, and for this reason, The Creator wants that person and delivers him from them all. And he is happy in this world and in the next world. Item 12. How many ills did Jacob suffer so as to not cling to the evil inclination and to part with its lot? He suffered several punishments and ills for that, but did not rest. And how many ills do righteous suffer in this world? Ills over ills and pains over pains to purify them for the next world. The Zohar, it doesn't promise us this nice, easy path. There's no place to escape to. Everyone will have to go through it, those that want to and those that don't. So what does it reveal to us? What's good about the revelation? If we start referring to it correctly, we don't feel that these are ills. If I refer to all my disturbances as disturbances on my path, I accept them as a blessing, as help against him. I bless for having this disturbance, because upon the disturbance that I overcome, I ascend and rise. You can't ascend but upon the disturbances, and this is how you rise from one degree to the next. Therefore, anyone whose desires are greater is greater than his friend, meaning the evil desire he overcomes there, then due to that is he greater than his friend. Therefore, the Zohar, it's not afraid of explaining to us that the problems do exist ahead of us and they will become ever greater. But correspondingly, but in correspondence to a person, if he has the power, the support, the group, the study, the right order in life, in order to advance correspondingly in a good fashion, this is how he is being brought from above, as much as I advance by the right, by the good, I'm being brought the evil. Item 13. How has Jacob always suffered ills over ills, as it is written, I was not at ease at house of Laban, and I could not be saved from him. Jacob means small. It's a paltsuf, it's a neshama in katnut. In order to bring it to gutlut, from smallness to adulthood, Laban, it's called the wicked. He has to take from there his additional desires. These are the daughters of Laban he gets married to, and his property, his flock, as if he does genetical different actions. It says so in the Torah, like it says in the Torah. He assembles for the very first time the middle line from the right and the left, right, left, bestowal. He becomes from the small, the grown-up, the paltsuf katan, the chagat neyor, chabat chagat is called Yaakov, galgal te'enayim, and 10 whole sfirot, chabat chagat ney, the galgal te'enayim and the achab together all are called Israel. So, in order to advance him, he is undergoing troubles. And I had not quiet from Esav, from that affliction that his appointee had caused me. And later, the fear of Esav himself. And I had no rest from Dinah and from Shechem. It's all in him, in man. This whole place, say Shechem, a person say, which is Esav or Lavan or some darkness, night, Shadim, Ruchot, spirits, ghosts, All these are forces in a person, are uncorrected desires. There is nothing besides two. When we get confused, we have to go back to the start. There is light, all, and the desire that the all has created, existence from absence, and nothing besides that, and the relation between them. It could be corrupt, the relation between the desire and the all, the state in which we are. The relationship could be relatively corrected, 125 degrees. The desire, it starts by its intention to adjust it to the light, or the desire that is in the final correction, similar to the light, bestowing like the light bestows. But besides the light and the desire and the connection between them called masach, there is nothing. And the desire, it's us. So, therefore, any discernment here in the still vegetative, animate, the corporeal, the spiritual, anything and everything, we always have to ascribe them to the desire. This is phenomena in the desire, and also the light. We say that besides the light and the desire, there's nothing. The light, it's also an impression within the desire, because outside the desire, we don't feel anything, ever. The Kabbalists that started explaining these things to us, where did they start explaining them? How did they start explaining it? As a result of their attainment, their feeling, and the desire. And outside the desire, we never come out of the desire. We don't know what it means outside of the desire. There is some kind of preliminary reason, probably. A desire that is prior to the... A reason which is prior to the desire, but we know nothing about it. After the Gemar Tikkun, maybe something will happen, something additional will happen there. Therefore, there could be confusions here and words that I don't understand. Doesn't matter. The only thing is that I have to aim myself to feel them inside me. We're talking about the desire and that which happens in me. My desire and what happens in it, in the desire. In short, it's some kind of spiritual anatomy of mine. Like you've seen how a person, his organs inside, you've seen his organs on the inside. It's the same about speaking about my soul. It tells me the same way about my soul, how the organs are arranged inside. Item 14. But anger came. This is Joseph's anger and bewilderment, which was the hardest of them all. Since Jacob went into Egypt because of his love for Joseph, which is the covenant. And this is why he loved him so much. Since afterwards it is written, and I will remember my covenant, that redemption was only for him. Since divinity was there with him, with the covenant, which is Joseph. This is why Joseph's bewilderment was harder for him than all the troubles he had suffered. We learn that the pulsuf that grows, the soul that opens. The truth is that we don't grow. We grow in our revelation, in our consciousness, but we don't grow. We are in the world of Ein Sof. We are in a constant state. Only with respect to us, it's revealed the way it is. It's like a person awakens from being unconscious. Bit by bit, opens his eyes, starts to feel, remember where he is, and the world opens before him. He was prior to this also in the world, only not consciously. It's the same with us. We're in the world of Ein Sof, only unconsciously. And the measures of our consciousness that we come and open ourselves to the true reality is called the worlds. Therefore, it's called the worlds from the word olamot, from the word ha'alamot, meaning something that is that disappears. the wisdom of Kabbalah, it nonetheless speaks in facts, numbers, and so on. Say, Yaakov. He has only Galgal Ta'enayim. Galgal Ta'enayim is Keter Chuchma Bina, Chesed Gvura Tiferet. Keter Chuchma Bina is the Galgal Ta'enayim. This is how it's called. This is how our vessels are called. And down below, start the Kelim of the Achab. Netzach Hod Yesod Malchut. The Yosef, yes, is called Yesod. Yesod. Yosef. Yosef, the righteous, Tzadik Yesod Olam. There are many things about this. We see that this degree called Katnut, or Jacob, starts with continuing to develop, and Yaakov, Jacob, he reaches a greater degree. He connects to himself, he reveals in himself additional desires, additional kelim. He reaches the degree of Yosef. And so all of his problems with Joseph, it's a degree that makes Zivug Daka, the Yesod. That's where the Zivug Daka takes place. In the Malchut, it's forbidden for us to make the Zivug Daka. It's a place where it is forbidden for us to work. Therefore, this whole story of Joseph with the wife of Potiphar, that because of Jacob, they went down to Egypt. This whole great desire existing in a person, this desire that opens up Egypt, the Malchut of Egypt, the final Malchut is the Pharaoh, and so on. All this is the soul. And all these discernments are in it. All the discernments. We can start and finish all of reality here. Not only the wisdom of Kabbalah, our world, something else. All of reality is in the soul. The whole reality is in the soul. I only want to say about what he read, Yaakov, Lavan, Esav. He's talking about Joseph now. We're advancing. The Zohar explains to us the same flow as in the Torah, because the Zohar is an interpretation on the Torah, what Moses has revealed and the cascading of the development of the soul. The same way the Zohar interprets it, only so that after the exile, although it was written before the exile, in the beginning of the exile, but it was concealed on purpose in order for it to be revealed at the end of the exile, meaning in our times, so that by it we could correct ourselves. So the Zohar, all in all, it interprets the Torah of Moses, and lets us in to the corrected state. Item 15. And Jacob sat in the land where his father had lived. Land, from the word desire. The righteous perishes, and no one takes it to heart. The righteous perishes means that when the Creator looks at the world, and the world is not worthy of existing, and judgment is in the world, He takes the righteous. The world is the whole of man. The Creator is the upper discernment, at the upper state. It means that this is what it means where it says that the righteous perishes, that this feeling kind of disappears from him. And then he takes this this righteous, which is among all these qualities, so that the judgment will be upon the others and there will be no one to protect them. Meaning that on purpose he takes out all the good desires from a person, conceals them, only for the bad things to be revealed. Why is this being done? to a person, item 16. This is so because as long as the righteous is in the world, man, his judgment, his quality called righteous, the judgment cannot control the world. How do we know that? For Moses, as it is written, therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him. For this reason, the Creator takes the righteous one from among them and raises him up from the world, and then he is repaid and receives his share. The verse, the righteous man is taken away because of the evil, means that before the evil comes to rule over the world, the righteous is taken away. Another meaning, because of the evil, meaning the evil inclination which incites and leads the world astray.
17. Jacob was the senior patriarch. Wait, we learned that it's an obligation that the evil inclination would be revealed. How else would a person would advance? The state of the righteous is not good. It's like still. I don't want anything. Everything's okay. Whatever happens, everything's great. Thank God. Every day. And a person can't advance this way. So we specifically need the evil to advance by the evil. That it's specifically in this manner you can advance. Thus, we have to see it always as an assistance as against oneself and all these obstacles. Of course, the matter of the preparation. A person who prepares himself correctly accepts, receives these the evil revealed in him, his perceptions, his thoughts, his weakness, confusions, he receives them as good. Afterwards, when he becomes wise from experience, he knows that specifically from the confusion what comes a result from them, and all the times that he falls, he becomes wiser and more understanding, higher, stronger. Jacob was the senior patriarch, and he was about to be in exile. But because he was righteous, the judgment was stopped and did not rule over the world. Thus, through all of Jacob's days, the judgment did not rule over the world. Which is not the best thing. Yes, it's like very calm. We speak about it like it's a good thing here, yes, but no. If it was so good, why would he leave? Like, why would there be a need for that? There are many uncorrected vessels in the soul, and still, they are without correction. 18. Also in the days of Yosef, who is the form of his father, there was no exile because he protected them all his days. And when he died, exile immediately came upon them. As it is written, and Joseph died. Meaning, yes, as we say here, there's a verse, a new king arose in Egypt, and so on and so on. The problem started specifically because of them and their merit, they exited Egypt. And soon after, come, let us deal wisely with them. And it is written, and they made their lives bitter. 19. Similarly, wherever there is a righteous man in the world, the Creator protects the world for him. And as long as he lives, the judgment does not rule over the world. 20. Wait. The judgment is the revelation of the wicked, of the uncorrected vessels in man, until the man comes to the state, this degree of the righteous. So a person has to be like erased, to take, be taken out of his righteousness, to confuse him, to make him fall, to break him, insert all sorts of foreign thoughts and desires into him, and then the wicked are revealed, and then a person has what to work with. We have to change our attitude to the process we are going through. To see in all the confusions and all the obstacles an assistance against oneself truly, it's very important. And then, from this, we see that this is how we advance. Then, we are immediately forced to turn to some forces that can support me to this problem. This group, the circulation, the study, everything that it can strengthen the person. Otherwise, righteous, yes, everything's over calm waters. Everything's great. And Jacob, letter 20, and Jacob sat in the land where his father had lived. And Jacob sat means that he was connected and sat in that place that was united in the dark. What is the land where his father had lived, since he feared all of his days? The land where his father had lived, specifically, means that this terror and fear is Yitzchak, his father's, who is the left line. In the land of Canaan means that the place is tied to his place. Nukva is called land. And when she is tied to the left line, which is Yaakov, Jacob's father, she is called land of Canaan. Where his father had lived is a harsh judgment, the left line of Zeranpin. Land is a harsh judgment, left line. And Yaakov clung to it and settled in it. The light of Zeranpin comes from above downwards. Hence, if the left line shines in it, a very harsh judgment extends from it. Since it is the first sin of the tree of knowledge, but the light of the Nukva is considered a female light, which shines only from below upwards and does not extend downwards. Hence, even when she is included with the right, there is no harsh judgment in her, but a weak one. This is the meaning of in the land where his father had lived, which is a weak judgment, and Yaakov sat in it. He sat in the land, which is the Nukva, and only a weak judgment, not a harsh one, like the dwelling place of his father. Any questions? Any impressions? There's like a bit of a confusion here, if you can help to descend from the confusion. The confusion is only by you, you know. Everybody understands other than you. Nobody's asking other than you. Well, I'm like a bit stuck. Maybe you can help me move through stages. You say that the Zohar speaks about man's internality. The light is within me. The Creator is within me. There's nothing outside of me. All the work is internal. And that actually I can do everything, control the world. Yes, the world is you. So there are verses which very much confuse me. Wait, but the world is you means not that now it's in your authority and in your understanding and your grasp. Rather, we are speaking about the true state that you have to reach. You have to reveal it. You can't now have an attitude of like, you know, come to my house, take everything from me and say, what are you saying? This is me. This is, you know, I don't know what more verses you could say. But we're not speaking corporality. Wait a minute. What is corporality and spirituality? There's no... It's one world. Everything's one? Okay, great, Rav says. So, reality that we're speaking about is the reality that we need to reveal it. And not that we are in that now. Wait, that's my whole confusion. That I have to reveal things that they exist in me. Okay. So how... How do we work out with sentences like, if the Creator cannot help him, who else? The one who comes to be purified is assisted. So wait, so who is the one coming to be assisted, and who's the one being purified? Like, everything is in me, Rav says. Great, once more you're going back to the same thing. If everything's in within me, but I have to reveal these forces. I need to reveal them. How will they assist me? That's not your problem. You will reveal that there are forces of assistance in me called Creator, Creature, me, the world, friends, people, the teacher, books, Rabbi Shimon, Moshe, some mechanism, some system, Torah, which is called this big program. It's all in me. It's the functioning of the big soul, my soul, that I'm found to be in front of that big soul. It's mine. I need to take it, to control it, to activate it, to get be familiar with it as much as I'll be able to activate it correctly. What does it mean to activate it correctly? It appears corrupted to me, appears to me as corrupted, and the truth it is not. Rather, I am now corrupted, and to that extent I see it as corrupted or concealed, and I need to correct myself, meaning I'm correcting my attitude. But Rav, you said that there are two things, light and vessel. The light created the vessel? Yes. Okay, great. So there is an external factor? No. So I created myself, Rav? I don't know who you is. I don't know who is light. But wait, listen. The Kabbalist, a person like you, 5,700 years ago was called Adam, approximately. The first person who revealed the Creator. How did he reveal him? From this, that he revealed... He lived in this world. Yes, he had a family. Some place where he lived. Also, there were many people before him and after him. He was the first among this human chain that revealed the Creator. Who's the Creator? That he revealed what we exist for, by what forces we are managed, what we could do with ourselves, how we can ascend above this perception of reality to a higher one. What did he reveal? What he revealed, he wrote. Where did he reveal? From within his own forces. Where? Within his perception, within his desires, within the hearing, sight, sense, and touch of his own. Nothing was opened up to him which was not from within him. If it was opened, what was opened is that he feels and he sees, meaning it's all in him. That's what Kabbalists speak to us about. They're telling us about this, that they revealed, and you have nothing that no person ever speaks of something that he did not reveal. They reveal these things in their attributes. So we speak about how we have to open up our attributes, to expand our horizons, in our perception, our senses. And then we will reveal. But it is we who will reveal. Our entire revelation will be within our desire. Now too, when I see other people, the whole world, it is me who sees and me who feels, and not somebody else. This is what they tell you about. The wisdom of Kabbalah is the wisdom of perception. the Rambam writes in the book of Mishnah Torah, Abraham, our forefather, began to look around in his thoughts, thinking day and night, and he was in wonder, how can this gear always be turning around, and it has like no manager? How will it be able to move itself? That can't be. And he began to go around this until he attained it, understood himself, and he came to know that there is one creator who guides this gear, this wheel, and there is none else but him. Also regarding Adam HaRishon, it's written in the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah, Adam HaRishon was the first to receive the order of the sufficient knowledge to understand and succeed, to take advantage of the very end of everything that he saw and attained before his eyes. This understanding is called the wisdom of truth. I don't know what you mean by if I am light and vessel. Man has no more than what he feels. That's it. No more. We are people of sensation. We feel. If I feel this and this and this and that, and to tie in order to tie between those sensations, let's say, to reach more pleasant sensations, how to run away from not so pleasant sensations or dangerous ones. All this brings me to develop the mind. So there is another mechanism here, we see, an assistant, supporting mechanism, which helps me to reach a more gentle, a more pleasant sensation. That's how our mind works. That's it. That's how we work. And if the sensation in man opens up that he feels more, so let's say this is called that he feels the spiritual world, but it's within the sensation. What could it mean to be outside this? Nothing can ever be outside of this. No, nothing like this exists outside. Even what you feel in yourself, that you are all built of like a head and arms and a body and everything around you, it's all within your sensation. You cannot exit this. Go learn philosophy even. They'll tell you the same thing. Let him speak. Please stand up. From today's study, it's like clarify to me two things that I want to ask you, Rav. One, from this that we understand that a person needs to receive things which happen to him which are bad, to accept them, and this is what activates him. And this awakens towards me that this is love thy neighbor as thyself, that you learn to accept the bad as the good. No, Rav says. No, we don't need to accept the bad. That's not incorrect. We need to be prepared in such a manner for our advancement that the evil that comes brings me happiness. That immediately I identify that these things come in order to raise me. One moment, that if I suffer one moment in my life, it's a sign that I have not prepared myself correctly. So what does he mean that the person, when he says a person has to accept the bad that comes to him as good? Yes, to accept the bad as the good, to bless as the bad, as with the good. So what I am blessing, I'm suffering, but I'm blessing. That's a hypocrisy, it's a lie. So, but love thy neighbor as thyself ends with, I am the creator, you're God. I don't like verses because you have to explain them, and whoever plays with verses, it's silliness. You have to reach those level of verses to clarify them. So don't throw the verses before me. Speak from your heart. If you have something to ask, it comes from my heart. That's what I feel. Well, love thy neighbor from thy heart. It comes from coming from your heart. So you're correct. My other question is, me, my sum total of desires. That's me. Yes, that's right. The self of the person is the sum total of his desires. So there is me, and there is in me. So that's two things. Yes, that's true. There is me, and there is in me. me, I'm the substance, the will to receive. In me is the form clothed in the matter. Two things, yes. That's very nice. Yes, last. Can we also say that the forms in the substance of the Zohar, they are one with the Rishimo of the soul? The Rishimo, if she's realized correctly, gives us a form. Yes. We are always actually found, you're right, in the realization of the Rishimo. But it's dependent upon us how we realize it. If I prepare myself for the realization of the Rishimo, which is called that I prepare myself even for the bad things, that whatever will come will be for my advancement, and I will know immediately how to turn this bad to good, so I'm realizing the Rishimo correctly. Immediately I'm accepting the world as good. And if I can't realize the Rishimo, so I receive it as an obstacle, as something bad, a crisis, problems, and all these other horrible things, that same Rishimo turns to me, for me, as the horrible world. I couldn't hear what he said. The surrounding light is the entire light which is not yet accepted in the soul, and the Zohar speaks from within it. That's right. And until we come to a body full of light and is good, so we like can't return from this this loan. That's true. Until the end of correction, and cannot. We receive it and then we return it. That's true. We have to end our lesson for now, and we will continue. Once more, I want to remind you all, we're learning this also in the evenings. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. You're all invited to take part. So, great. In this, we'll end our lesson. A number of announcements. The virtual group is broadcasted live every Monday at 9 o'clock at kab.tv on forum.kab.co.il. The Mega International Kabbalah Congress, January 22nd to the 24th, 2010, includes 40 countries around the world. Come and join this Congress in the place which is closest to you. Connect to the next degree. For details, enter www.kabbalahgroup.info. We are blessing Italy, the Italy's group, who are hosting the upcoming Congress in honor of the new Congress, the new center opening up in Roma. Have a great day, everyone. במקום בנשמות כולם רוצים רק לעצמם רוצים בלי שאלות השנאה שמתגברת הקנאה והדמעות רוצים לצאת מהקופסה להתעורר כי ככה אי אפשר לחיות אבל קיימת עוד תקווה שנתקן את הכוונה נחזור לחיות באהבה בינינו אם לומר כולנו יחד אמן נחזור להיות כולנו חלקים של השלם תסכול רק מתגבר לא מוצאים את האיזון ובתוכנו המשבר מסביבנו אסונות תאונות ומלחמות וזה לא ייפסק אם לא נאחד את הרצונות
שנתקן את הכוונה, נחזור לחיות בעד.